As we start today, I wanted to continue this theme that you guys have started this year. We talked about Christ and prevenient grace, and love. And I want to take that theme to just pause for a moment, because this is the time of the year we're getting ready to hit Valentine's Day, as you guys have talked about so much. And we're getting ready to start. But it seems to me that we have such hopes at the beginning of the year as the year is ending. And sometimes we get a hiccup as we go forward in this life. I don't know about the rest of you. Have you ever had really good things happen and bad things happen all in the same day? I know that I haven't. So that's the reason why I picked this odd text today. It's Elijah text. And I wanted to share it with you. And I just want to set that story up just for a moment before we go to the text. Now, Elijah had been asked to God to do something. If you remember in your memory, he's in 1 Kings and he's also in 2 Kings. And he's asked to do something for God, Elijah the prophet. And he goes and does what God asks. And then things seem to go bad for him, but God, along the way, helps him out. And then he's told, of all things, to go see this widow whose son's dying in this place in Tyre. And he goes only to have good things happen and bad things happen all in the same period of time. And so as we look at this text today, I want us to think about the breath of God and God's breath in your life. Now, when I was a kid, I don't know if you've ever done this before. Have you ever played a game where you tried to hold your breath as long as you could to the other person let out? Remember that game where you go, So what I want to do today, and I don't want anybody passing out unless we've got some emergency folks here. Now, I want you to indulge us, because when we worship God, it's about our senses, our hands, our hearts. It's about feeling and touching. So I want you, on the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath and hold it as long as you can, okay? This should be fun for kids. Some of you who have some oxygen problems, let's not get too crazy. Ready? One, two, three, and hold your breath. I'm out. Good. I want you to keep that frame of mind as we read this text. Let's look at Elijah, 1 Kings 17. We're looking at passage 70 to 24. It's on the screen. After this, son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. Her son becomes ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to the remembrance and cause the death of my son?" But he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from him in his bosom, and he carried him to the upper chamber where he was lodging and laid him on his bed. And he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon this widow whom I am staying with by killing her son?" Then he stretched out himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him, and he was revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber to the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us go to God. Here's when you go to prayer after a scripture. Whatever you need from God today, be it a song, be it music, whatever it is that you need, ask God boldly for it in your prayer today, okay? As I go in prayer, just ask him. Gracious God, as we come this day, I pray for this church, gracious God, this great church in Sumner County. I pray, dear Lord, that I might step back so that you might step forward. I pray, gracious God, that people might know the healing, enduring, unending love of your Holy Spirit power. And I pray, gracious God, whatever hurt or heartache or hangup that any one of us have or all of us have together, dear Lord, that you will bring your grace in such a way that you will anoint us with forgiveness and love. I pray, dear Lord, that do not pass us by in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I leaned over into his eyes, and I whispered into his ear, "Are you ready?" He looked up at me. He was weak, and I slid my arms up under his, and I picked him up. This man who had weighed over 200 pounds, now 100 pounds of weight. This man who I'd known, who was a decorated Vietnam veteran, who had had a hard life, who joined the Army when he was 15 years old and signed his mother's name to say he was 16. This man who was barely alive from the chemo treatment. This man who had no breath left in him. And I asked myself a question, God, why have you brought such calamity upon this man and my family? One of the things that I can relate to in this story of Elijah is that when things are good, we forget to thank God sometimes, don't we? I mean, if you don't know the story, I'll remind you that the widow had plenty of oil for flour and bread, and it never went empty. She was starving to death. There was a drought in the area. Her and her son were there to die. And Elijah shows up at the well, tells her to get him some water and make him some bread. And she says, well, you know, we barely have enough bread. The last loaf we're making is for us as we starve to death. God supplies this. Elijah has been fed by ravens, and he had a creek to get food in. And he never, once in this text, really said thank you. But when things turn south just for a moment, he starts crying out, what do you have against me, O God? You come to bring my sin in remembrance. Why are you against me? Has anybody ever done that before other than me? When things are good, man, things are so good that just sometimes we forget to simply say thank you. But man, as soon as they turn, the first person we start blaming is, why have you done this to me, O Lord? I imagine this woman, full of tears and worn down, maybe her lips were cracked because the water was short. Maybe she's thinking to herself, who is this man to even ask for what I have? And yet she shares it. I see her as a strong, independent woman. We've told that she was allowed to live by herself, but in that time period meant that she had pulled herself up by her bootstrap and she had given certain authority that other women didn't have. And then she finds the promises of Elijah are fulfilled. And then, right after she has plenty of flour and bread, her son dies. Have you ever had or gotten hope where things went good and you heard a good diagnosis or something went well one day and then 2 weeks later you feel like you're yanked, the carpet's yanked right under you? Has anybody other than me ever experienced that? Some days things are so good and you give thanks to God and you finally start to feel good again about life, about your children, about your grandchildren, about your spouse or whatever, and then something just yanks you right out. It seems that she had no breath left in her. You know, I believe that that man I helped out of the wheelchair that day, my father, it would have seemed like his world was turned upside down. It would have seemed that he had the end of his rope, and yet I know that in the midst of that time, God was with us. Has anybody here ever heard the words, you have cancer? If you have, raise your hand, really. They've said it. Does anybody know those words, you have cancer? Man, I'm going to tell you something. That'll take the breath out of you, won't it? Has anybody in your family ever had cancer when you were there and you found out they had cancer? Anybody? And doesn't it just shut the breath right out of you? It yanks the breath right out of you. I know that my father had regret for the relationship he had with his father growing up. I know that my father had regret for the times he was away from my mother and his children, me and my sisters, when he was serving in Vietnam. I know that my father had regret for the killings that took place that men do, they have to do in times of war. But this story isn't tragic, because just like with Elijah, Elijah cried out, and so did my father, that God would help bring healing to this little boy. And God revived him. Now I know that in many cases we're not revived physically. So I'm not going to even say that. I know there are times of great miracles that happens in our lives. And it happens. My father was not revived physically. In the story of Elijah, he was revived physically. But I'm telling you this for sure. God Almighty can revive us spiritually no matter what bed we find ourselves laying on without breath. And I think sometimes we as good United Methodists, sometimes we forget to simply say, our God can do anything because he's done it with us and done it with me and you, and we have to pause to recognize it and then tell other people about it. People of Rehoboth, how you doing? I mean, really, not how you want me to know that you're doing, not that what you want to tell the pastors so that you feel good so they don't think you're in the gutter, not that you want your children or grandchildren to know because you have an image of yourself, not how you want to put yourself out in the community here in Gallatin or Hendersonville, but really, how you really doing? In your heart of hearts, in your soul of soul, the place when you go, you know, the place that we all go that nobody else sees us, it's when we're naked. You know, I don't mean just physically naked. I mean that when we're spiritually naked before God and the thoughts and the feelings that we have inside that nobody else knows, not even our spouse, because if they knew what we were thinking, they wouldn't like us anymore. You know what I'm talking about, that place? Is it just me who has these things that go up, you know? If you didn't know, my name is Scott Aldridge. I'm the district superintendent, a United Methodist elder, a pastor of many churches, and I am a sinner. I said it. What'd she say? Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, you guys are too, but I didn't want to throw that out. Thank you. Maybe you're in a place today that you really don't know what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're trying to figure out, maybe there's somebody right now among you or with you that has a substance abuse. If you've been reading the paper, did you know that really good people, maybe even people here, got put on painkillers and got addicted and they didn't even mean to? Did you guys know that? You know that? Good people? Regular people, not junkies that you find someplace, you know? You know there's somebody here probably in this congregation suffering from that sort of trouble or maybe suffering from maybe having too much alcohol? Did you know that maybe there's some parent here dealing with an unruly child? Anybody here as a parent ever had an unruly child? Maybe you still do. Don't we have, there's another beauty, there's a baby here and there's a baby in the back, right? What's that baby's name? Jewel didn't get to come up front. I know you wanted, I know she was nudging you, telling you, go take our baby up there. So there's Jewel. Aren't babies beautiful? They take all your sleep away, don't they? And this couple seemed to be settled, but I know that when we had children, two of them, it took away my love life. That's the truth, right? I mean, it's babies, it's life, it's hard, they're beautiful. Thank God we got grandparents. See, here's what I suspect. As I pray for you, I think, dear God, please be with the people of Rehoboth. Sometimes they have no breath left in them. But let's don't stop at the doors of this church, pretty white church on this road. What about our cities? Henderson, Gallatin that now become kind of one city, or our county, you know. We have 169,000 people in our county of Sumner County. We only have a 9.3% poverty rate. That's not too bad, really. It's lower than the rest of the nation until you realize it represents 16,000 people who are living below the poverty level. My God, there's no breath left in them. Did you know there are 16 million children in America who are in poverty? 16 million. That's astounding, isn't it? Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. We can go into the social, economic and reasons, but at the end of the day, there are 16 million children who aren't getting enough food, okay? That's the truth. We can argue politics all day long, but I think the church is called to learn how to feed people the right and proper way, but we need to do it. Or what about the world? How's the breath with the world? Now, I'm going to step on your toes, my toes too, just for a second, okay? So I'm going to say this because this, so I'm warning you. Did you know sex trafficking is the second place to arms sales, and arms sales are the biggest traded commodity in the world, and sex trafficking of children is second. Let me say this, just so you hear it. Women, you can hear this, because I'm talking to the men, and please, men, don't be mad at me, but stop it. Stop buying, pursing, looking at. It's somebody's daughter. And by God, if the men don't step up and step out for what is wrong with what's going on with this, and who's going to? Okay, I'm off that now, okay? I don't get to preach much, so I had that built up for a while. Oh, Lord, will you bring calamity upon our world? Elijah spends the early part of chapter 17 that we find them doing the work of Ahab, bringing water, and then he gets scared. Have you ever done the work of God and then got scared and didn't want to do the work anymore? Wanted to run away from it? Mayor Noble? Yeah, I have. The work of being a pastor, of being a Christian, is hard. People are going to beat you up in your own church. Okay? People are going to say funny things to you at Rehoboth when you do something for the Lord. Good people. People who said they like you. Oh, Lord, they have no breath left in them. And so, sometimes the breath of God can be, though, in the midst of helping us discern things. Sometimes the breath of God just helps us sustain and endure. Sometimes we don't have a mountaintop experience. Sometimes the breath of the Lord just gets us through the next day. Have you ever just needed to get through the next day, the next week, the next month? And then maybe, oh maybe, dear Lord, please, please wash down upon me in some way, somehow. Oh Lord, they have no breath left in them. Sometimes it can actually be found in physical healing. Sometimes we are truly physically healed. Mary Noble, right? She, you know, by the way, my name is Scott Ulrich. I'm a cancer survivor. I had prostate cancer last year, and so far, so good. I'm still without cancer. I don't have a prostate, but I'm without cancer. I guess it's a trade-off. You got to laugh at it. That's funny. Come on. It's my prostate. That's funny stuff. The breath of God can be found in art and music, children's sermons. It can be found in trust. It can be found in young people who are willing to light candles for you, found in babies. It can be found in older people with wisdom. It can be found in people that call us or reach out to us or touch us or hold us. The breath of God can be found all around for us, regardless of our sin, regardless of our doubts, regardless of our place in society. We're not measured by how much faith that we have. We're only measured that we have enough faith as a mustard seed, and we don't have it. Somebody in this room needs to help get it for us. I heard the list of prayer concerns. Sometimes, man, you can't even pray for yourself. So please, pray for us. The breath of God is called Ruach, the blowing breath of God. Before we watch this last video clip, and I wrap this up, Pat told me to say to pass the offering plate twice. She didn't. I'm just joking. Well, she sort of did, but that's I'm not going to say that out loud. I now want you just to breathe in and breathe out. That breath, that's God. That's God saying, I love you. That's God saying, I don't care if you messed it up. That's God saying, I promise, no matter how hard it gets, I'm going to be with you. That's God saying, I'm going to lean over you three times. I'm going to breathe into you, and I'm going to give you life. One more time, just breathe in with me. Breathe back out, and let's watch this clip.